I knew the Beloved in Christ many years ago, and doing research for one of my books, I was reading a book on the Eucharist by a modernist, and then he went through these hymns that we sing for benediction and then blasphemed time after time after time again. And then he was saying how foolish St. Thomas Aquinas was in the Tantum Ergo, where, as you know, Latin words don't follow the same order as English words. So he was saying, "So great, therefore, sacrament." And he goes, "How foolish was St. Thomas Aquinas?" And I hated modernism before, but after that it became more of a passion to blaspheme our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament for all he's done for us. So I'd like to go through translation of the hymns we sing for benediction. So you just deepened your faith. And so Solitaris Ostia means, "O saving victim, thou who dost open the gate of heaven, hostile wars press hard. Bring strength, bring aid." When they're talking about hostile wars, you know, those are crosses and temptations. "May eternal glory be given to the one triune God, who may give life without end to us in the fatherland," which is heaven. And then Tantum Ergo, "Therefore we venerate so great a sacrament bowed," and that's why the priest and the servers bow lowly when we, just after we begin Tantum Ergo. "Therefore we venerate so great a sacrament bowed, and may the old law yield to the new rite. May our faith prove an aid to the weakness of our senses." In other words, we don't see Christ visibly present in the Holy Eucharist, but may faith prove an aid to the weakness of our senses. That faith we believe because Christ said so. "This is my body." "May praise and joyful acclaim be given to the Father and the Son. May health or greeting, honor, virtue, and blessing, and also equal praise be given to the one proceeding from both." Of course, the Holy Ghost. And then the oration for today's Mass, it's also used for benediction. "O God, who under a wonderful sacrament has left us a memorial of thy passion, grant us, we beseech thee, so to venerate the sacred mysteries of thy body and blood, that we may evermore feel within the fruit of thy redemption." And then perhaps sometimes you were not able to go to Mass and you received communion at a different time, and then the church says a beautiful prayer also, Sacrum Convivium. "O sacred banquet in which Christ is received, the memory of his passion is recalled, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us." And I'd just like to read a few words of St. Thomas Aquinas. This is in the Breviary readings for today. He says, "The immense blessings bestowed by the divine mercy upon the Christian people give it an inestimable dignity." And then he goes on and says, "For the only begotten Son of God, wishing to make us partakers of his divinity," in other words, to share his happiness in heaven and sanctifying grace, "took upon himself our nature. And this body that he took from us, he gave wholly for us, for our salvation. He offered his own body to God the Father upon the altar of the cross as a victim of our reconciliation. And he shed his own blood, both to redeem and cleanse us, that we, being bought back from the wretched slavery, might be washed from all our sins. And then, that the memory of such a great benefit might abide in us, he left his body to be our food and his blood to be our drink, that the faithful might receive them under the species of bread and wine. O precious and wonderful banquet, health-giving and full of all sweetness, what could be more precious than this banquet, in which no longer under the law," they're talking about the old law, The flesh of calves and goats is eaten, but Christ, the true God, is set before us that we might receive him. What could be more wonderful than this sacrament, in which bread and wine are substantially changed into the body and blood of Christ? And therefore Christ, perfect God and man, is contained under the appearances of a little bread and wine. The appearances of bread and wine subsist without a subject. In other words, the substance of bread and wine is completely changed into the body and blood of Christ, but it still looks like bread. It still feels like bread. It tastes like bread. The appearances of bread and wine subsist without a subject, that there may be room for faith. So it's our faith that's so important. When we receive visibly that which is invisible and hidden under appearance not its own. Thus the senses are kept free from deception, for they judge of the appearances known to them. Of all the sacraments, none is more health-giving, for by it sins are washed away, virtues are increased, and the soul is fed with an abundance of all spiritual gifts. But if we're in mortal sin, again, that's the worst of all sacrileges, to receive Christ in mortal sin. But as long as our soul is free from mortal sin, sins are washed away, virtues are increased, and the soul is fed with an abundance of all spiritual gifts. It is offered in the church for the living and the dead during the Mass. The Mass is offered as a sacrifice, that all may profit by that which was instituted for the salvation of all. Finally, no words suffice to describe the sweetness of this sacrament, in which spiritual delights are tasted at their very source, and the exceeding charity of Christ in his passion is called to mind. It was in order to impress more deeply upon the minds of the faithful the boundless extent of his charity that when he kept the pass with his disciples and was about to depart out of this world to his Father, Christ instituted this sacrament as a perpetual memorial of his passion. The fulfillment of the ancient figures, the greatest of all his miracles. To those who grieved at his absence, in other words, his ascension into heaven, it was to be a special consolation, and it still is today, almost 2,000 years later. I'll just close with this story. The story is told about a boy named Martin who lived in Jerusalem about the time of our Lord. Martin went to school during the day, and after school in the afternoon and evening, what do you think he did? He had a job working for a man who owned a big house in Jerusalem. Martin used to answer the front door and help wait on the table and help wash the dishes after supper was over. Martin was a very good worker and never broke any dishes, and his employer was very fond of him. One Thursday evening, there was much excitement in the house where Martin worked. It seems that a number of friends of Martin's master were coming to dinner that evening. But these were not just ordinary friends. These were very special friends. Who do you think was coming to dinner that night? Why, Jesus and his 12 apostles. Well, can you imagine the excitement that gripped Martin? He was supposed to wait on the table, and believe me, he was nervous. He had heard a lot about Jesus, how he was the Son of God, how he had come to redeem men from their sins, how he had worked such wonderful miracles, how holy and how kind he was. But Martin had never met Jesus before. Now imagine he had the wonderful privilege of waiting on our Lord at supper time. At last, Jesus and his 12 apostles arrived and went upstairs to the dining room. After a prayer, they sat down to the table and began their supper. Martin could not take his eyes away from the face of Jesus. It was kind, loving, gentle, yet a strong face. And Martin thought he had never seen anyone so wonderful before in his whole life. Then Martin looked around at the 12 apostles. He saw Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew and the other James, and Thaddeus and Simon, and last of all, a man he didn't like at all, Judas Iscariot, who was to betray our Lord. This was to be our Lord's last supper before he died on the cross. But of course, no one in the room knew that except Jesus himself and Judas, who was about to turn him over to his enemies. The meal was nearly over when Jesus rose from his place at table. Martin watched breathlessly, for he felt that something tremendous was about to happen. Quietly and slowly, our Lord took bread into his sacred hands, blessed it, and said, "This is my body." He meant that the substance of the bread and wine was changed into the substance of his body. And then Jesus took a cup filled with wine and said over it, "This is my blood, etc., which shall be shed for many unto the remission of sins." He meant that the substance of the wine was changed into the substance of his blood, because his blood was very soon to be shed, like the blood of the victims at the Jewish altars, so that all who believed in him might have their sins forgiven. And he gave the power to his apostles and their successors and the holy priesthood to do the same as he had done by the wonderful words, "Do this in commemoration of me." And then he gave to the apostles the consecrated bread to eat and the consecrated wine to drink, and he gave them the power to do what he had done. Meanwhile, Martin had fallen to his knees. He didn't know exactly why, but he felt that something sacred was taking place. Later on, he understood. He realized that he had been present at the first Mass, when our Lord had given us the great gift of the Holy Eucharist for the first time. Later on, when he became a Catholic, Martin attended Mass and received communion many times, but he never forgot that Holy Thursday night, the night before Jesus died on the cross for us, when Jesus took bread into his hands and said, "This is my body," and took the wine and said, "This is my blood." My dearly beloved in Christ, you attend Mass and receive the Holy Eucharist often, but do you fully realize what is happening? Do you realize that at the Mass, the bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ? Do you realize that when you receive Holy Communion, you're receiving that which looks like a piece of bread, which is really the living Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, who comes to us under the appearance of bread so that we may receive him into our very bodies and souls. Remember that in the Holy Eucharist, you're not receiving bread like the false churches, but the living Christ who comes to you under the appearance of the sacred host, so that you may be as close to him as you possibly can be. That's how much Jesus loves you. How much do you love him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.